Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Inside Wrestling for March 4th, 2023. I'm your host, Nate. We're going to be looking at the AEW Revolution pay-per-view, which takes place tomorrow night at 8 o'clock on the West Coast in California. Hopefully they put on a very good show. Like I've been saying so many times, you can complain about AEW sometimes, their shows and stuff like that. Even like this past show, the go-home show, wasn't really that great or whatever. They never put a stinker on for a pay-per-view, so I'd rather have a stinky go-home show than a stinky pay-per-view, especially when you're paying $50 for a pay-per-view. So, but anyways, so let me pull up the card for tomorrow's show, Revolution. Oh, this is going to suck. Wow. But anyways, yeah. Here we go. Here are the matches we got. Hold on. I want to see if comes in, because this is going to be a pain in the butt. Okay, he hasn't come in yet. All right, well, anyways, here we go. We'll start it off right here. Here's the first match that we have on the card here. We got Mark Briscoe and the Lucha Brothers against Ari Daivari and the Varsity Athletes on the pre-show. It's kind of cool that they got Mark Briscoe signed to a contract. Still unknown what they're going to do with the tag team situation for Ring of Honor, but it should be a good match. Should be pretty good. The Lucha Brothers always put on a decent match. So that should be a good, nice pre-show match. We also, on the pre-show, we have the Blackpool Combat Club, Claudio and Wheeler Yuta versus the Dark Order, John Silver and Alex Reynolds on the pre-show. That should be pretty good. The Blackpool Combat Club been putting some good matches lately. So that would be very interesting to see. So it looks like we only have two matches on the pre-show, but Dark Order, they're still hanging around. Evil Uno basically putting on a decent match the other week on Dynamite, so Fat Boys can still wrestle. And they actually popped over a 1 million rating for the main event, so there we go. So basically that is it for the pre-show. So we get to the main card. I'm going to go backwards on the card. We'll start from the bottom up here. No Holds Barred, Christian Cage versus Jungle Boy Jack Perry. Christian Cage basically been out with an injury against Jungle Boy. Should be a pretty decent match, I think. I'll give the match to Christian Cage, basically, because he's been injured. He's coming back. You like to see the heel get the win early in the feud, and then, you know, basically the babyface gets the tie, and then they go for the third match. So I'm going to go with Christian Cage defeating them. Oh, let me bring in Chris. There we go.
Hey, sorry about being a little late.
No, it's okay. No, that's cool. I got the card, too. But, I did the pre-show thing, not really much on the pre-show, but talking about Christian and Jungle Boy, what are your thoughts on the match for tomorrow?
This isn't a regular match, right? Casket match?
No Holds Barred, I guess. That's what it says on a BR Bleacher Report.
Hold on. Oh. Let's go to Wiki.
Unless they're adding a casket or something. I don't know. I'm going by Bleacher Report.
Okay. It's weird. Yeah, that's what Wikipedia says, too, because yesterday on Rampage, it said final burial. That's what it said at first. It had, like, in the center. But, yeah, Wikipedia here says no holds barred as well. So, either way, it's not going to be a regular match. So, you know. Mm. Well, this one's hard to predict because I don't think it's going to be a one-off. I think they'll have more than one match. So, this one could go either way, really. I'm going to pick Jungle Boy for this one.
Okay. Yeah, I go with Christian because basically it's not going to be a one-off. So you like to see the heel get the first victory and then the babyface, like, tie it up, you know. But I don't know. Like I said, it could go either way. But hopefully it's a decent match. And like I said, they don't put sneakers on pay-per-view, so. But anyways, we got Chris Jericho against Ricky Starks. I don't know. I mean, we go with Ricky Starks. Jericho always does the right thing, putting the guy over and stuff like that. If they're going to keep it going with the feud, you could see Jericho winning, but most likely he'd probably cheat to win. So it wouldn't be surprising if Jericho wins, but I'll still go with Ricky Starks with the victory. So, yeah.
Yeah, what makes me a little nervous about this match, not sure if you noticed. First, it was when they first announced the match, they just said everybody's banned, but then they changed the wording where it said only the Jericho Appreciation Society is banned, which makes me think we could get a swerve or maybe some other accomplice or alias of Jericho may, you know, come out and help him or something. I'm not really a fan of this feud personally. It's kind of ass backwards. It's kind of dumb because it's like Ricky won the match, so why does he want another match?
Yeah.
So yeah. I think in the end, you know, Ricky will win, but my gut tells me Jericho is going to somehow find a way to win the match. I don't want that, but that's what I feel like is going to happen.
I think Ryback's going to show up during the match with a bowl of tuna fish and smack Ricky again with it. So there we go. like he did before. But anyways, we got AEW World Tag Team Champion 4-Way match. We got the Guns, the Champions versus the Acclaimed versus Jeff Jarrett, Jay Lethal, Orange Cassidy, and Danhausen. Now, you know, I like to see the champions retain the belts because they just got the titles. But AEW, anything's possible, and it wouldn't shock me to see Orange Cassidy and Danhausen winning the title. I don't know why, but it wouldn't shock me to see him. But I still think in the end, I think that the Guns will find some way to win. Maybe even Daddy Gun might actually help him keep the titles because I heard a possibility of him splitting and going back with his kids, so which makes sense. But, yeah, I see the Guns winning, but it wouldn't shock me if Cassidy and Danhausen pull a surprise victory on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm with you as far as, you know, no one can deny the pay-per-view quality for AEW. They always deliver every single time. But I'll be honest, this is definitely, like, the most questionable show they've done as far as the card is concerned. Like, this match to me makes no sense. I don't understand why it's a four-way. The whole story was about the Acclaimed and the Guns. Jared and Lethal already, they had like two different chances to win the belts and they lost. And Orange and Danhausen are not even a legit tag team. Like, this is shit that WWE does where they just team up two random people who aren't doing anything. Oh, there you go. So I ain't gonna lie, I'm not really feeling this match. Not really feeling it.
Like
I don't dislike
it. It's almost like they want to put everybody on the pay-per-view so that's why they do a four-way match, you know? So
I guess.
You just throw them in a mix, you know? Because if you just say, well, okay, we'll just have the Guns versus Acclaim, like, okay, that's cool. But then, like, Jared and Lethal versus Danhausen, like, eh, I don't want to see that. How about we throw them in the tag title picture? Okay, four-way match, there we go. Make it, like, a better match and supposed to get everybody on the card. I mean, it's how Tony Khan books, you know, trying to get everybody on the show.
Yeah.
But,
well, since the Ass Boys just won, it's too soon, so.
Yeah.
I'll go ahead and predict them to win. I like them. I just think that, like I said, of all the teams that have been tag team champions so far, they're definitely the most questionable They haven't really been on TV enough, in my opinion, to really be credible champs, because really the only thing they had was just the shit with the Acclaimed and Billy, and that's it. But, like, outside of that, it wasn't like they were any prominent feuds. I mean, they do have one win on FTR, so that's good. But, I mean,
yeah,
they're a future team for sure. I just feel like they're not really there yet, in my opinion, but we'll see. I'm sure the match will be good. Orange is good. He can work, so let's see.
Yeah. So we got TNT champion Samoa Joe versus Warlow. I see Joe retaining the title, but then I see Hobbs probably coming out, probably laying out Joe, and probably Warlow probably make a triple threat down the line or on a future Dynamite or something, Rampage or something like that. But I think it should be a good match. You know, a lot of beef. Vince McMahon loves these kind of matches, the beef and the matches. So there you go. But I'll go with Joe keeping it, but I see Hobbs showing up, doing something, some interference after the match, and laying a smackdown. And plus, he's from California, too, so you got to have Hobbs on the show, you know? So.
Yeah, I feel like TK kind of booked himself into a corner here because I like Joe. If it was me, I like Joe. Joe's great. You know, as TNT champion, the whole king of TV, like, I love it. All his matches are awesome. But, you know, he really did wrong by Wardlow last year. Wardlow, his run as TNT champ was just very underwhelming. And so, you know, this whole thing, you know, Joe cut off his hair. Everything's building to Wardlow getting his win back. But the problem here is you also had Hobbs win that Face of Revolution thing, and they said on TV that Hobbs is facing the winner next Dynamite. So it's like, wait a minute. So Wardlow beats Joe just for Hobbs to lose? Because it's like Hobbs is not on TV either, and, you know, fans are saying they should do more of him. Or it's like Wardlow beats Joe just to lose right back to Hobbs, which is like hot potatoing. Or you have Joe beat Wardlow again, which doesn't do anything for Wardlow, just for Joe to lose to Hobbs, which is great for Hobbs, but, like, doesn't do anything for Wardlow. So the way this is booked, like, someone's getting fucked over here. The only way I really see this being a fix is TK hasn't done it yet, and I feel like he should do this because when he has these contracts, like these open contract things that they do where it's like you're guaranteed a shot, You can cash that in whenever you want. So if he wanted to, TK could book it where it's like a cash-in, where say you could do Wardlow and Joe, and then Hobbs cashes in after they beep out of each other for, like, say, 10 minutes or so. Then you could just have Hobbs just kind of sneak in and win that way. But TK doesn't do that because he doesn't want to be like WWE, and I understand that. But I think what TK needs to realize is certain things that WWE does, fans don't mind it if you do it every now and then. We just don't want to see it all the time. I just think that if you had Hobbs cash in, and that's not how they advertised it, but they never said it couldn't be done that way either. And again, that's how WWE does. WWE changes the rules all the time to fit whatever is convenient for the story at that time. If it was me booking, Wardlow and Jill kick each other. They beat each other up for like 10 minutes. Hobbs comes out, cashes in, and just takes advantage. That way, it saves space for Wardlow. It saves space for Joe, and then you can build to if you take the belt off of Joe, you can build up Hobbs. Then you can do Wardlow and Joe without the belt at some point. Have Wardlow beat Joe, and then you can build to, like, say, Hobbs and Wardlow, like, at the next pay-per-view, which would have been like, what would that be? Double or Nothing? Yeah, Double or Nothing. You can do that. That's what I would do.
Yeah, there you go.
That's what I would do. If I was booking this.
Plus, it's California's hometown, Papa Hobbs, so that helps out too.
Right, exactly. I think TK should improvise here, and he should go to WWE route. That's what I would do if I was booking.
Yeah, if we send him the link to the show, he'll probably steal our idea and just use it. So there you go. That's what they do. But anyways, this might be the interesting match of the night here, because what might happen. AEW World Trios Champion, The Elite, Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks versus the House of Black, Malakai Black, Buddy Matthews, and Brody King. I see Omega and the Bucks retaining the titles, but I think it should be a good match. But I think the aftermath is what we're going to be waiting for, because I think we're going to see FTR return, and I think we're going to see CM Punk return tomorrow night. I think the stars are aligning for Punk to return, and I think he's returning. They're going to build up the trios match for Double or Nothing with Kenny Omega and the Bucks against FTR and CM Punk at Double or Nothing. So that's what I'm going with for tomorrow night. So that's probably the must-watch match of the night tomorrow. So that's what I'm going to go with.
Yeah, this is where I'm going to really cook, as Sandman would say. Bill-wise, this is the most disappointing match on the card. I cannot in good conscience always shit on Bray Wyatt for the creepy, spooky shit that doesn't work and then just look the other way when AEW does it. Do you remember in WWE when The Shield faced the Wyatt family for the first time and it was like a big deal and everybody was like, holy shit, and there was like this big anticipation for the match? That's what this should be. House of Black versus the Elite. This is basically like the premier match of the Trios division, and it doesn't feel like a big deal at all. It just feels like another match. There hasn't been a single promo from the Elite or anything at all. All you've gotten on TV is just Elite doing stuff. Lights go on, lights go off, creepy. Like, what the fuck is this? Like, what? And I'm really kind of disappointed because usually everything that the Elite does is pretty good. But this is, like, the first time where it's like, what is this? Like, what? Like, this is the first time Kenny's ever been in the ring with Malakai Black or Buddy. Like, those are dream matches. Like, this should be a big deal, but it's, like, it's just a match. So what the fuck is this? So I'm not speculating or anything, but the fact that there's, like, hardly any effort put into this match build-wise, like, the match itself will be great. I got no question the match itself will, you know, it'll be a kick-ass match,
yeah.
But, like, you got to have a story here. There's no fucking story here. Like, what's going on? And so the fact that there's hardly any story whatsoever, it does make me wonder about the credibility of all these reports about, you know, Kenny and the Bucks possibly taking their ball and just dipping, going elsewhere. Because if I'm TK, if I'm TK, and if the Elite are not really giving me any assurances they're going to be around, then I guess it would make sense for him to not really put effort into their booking. You know, that's Booker 101, right? If the guys if you think they're going to leave, then it's like, okay, well, I'm not going to put the shit on them. So either way, House of Black has to win. Got to give them something. They need this. The Elite don't need this. It's time. Kenny never needed this anyway. The whole point of this was just to give, was to have the Bucks carry the weight. Because when Kenny first came back, you know, he wasn't 100% yet. He's 100% now.
Yeah.
We need to get Kenny back in the singles division. You know, we need to build to other shit. So let's go ahead and put this on House of Black. The match will be great.
There
it's definitely be match of the night, probably match of the year. But I just think the build to this is just like what the fuck? This is definitely like the biggest L so far. Because I'm a pretty pro AEW guy. But even I'm like, nah.
But anyways, I still have a feeling about FDR and Punk tomorrow. So anyways, AEW Women's World Champion 3-Way, Jamie Hayter, Saraya, Ruby Soho. Yeah, I'm just going to go straight up with Hayter. So there you go. She got to keep the title for a while. They have to do basically, what's her goddamn name? The fucking the doctor, Britt Baker, and Hayter in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. So I'm going to keep Hayter. Keeping the plus she's becoming a crowd favorite too, so yeah, I'll keep it on Hayter for tomorrow.
It should be Tony that should be in the match and not Saraya. Saraya's only had like three matches.
Yeah, I know. I was looking at that. I was like, I'd rather have Tony.
Either way, this will definitely be a test for her because don't forget about, you know, why she had to retire because of her neck issues. And, you know, as Hayter always says, Hayter hits hard. So this will definitely be a test for her. Let's see. I think this match will either go one of two ways. It'll surprise us or it's going to be a cluster. But either way, I'm going to predict Jamie to retain here.
Yeah. So we have a Texas death match in California. So there you go, Tony. Snorting some more coke. Why can't you just make it like a California drive-by match or something? You know, there's one thing about that match.
They should call it the Biggie Smalls Who Shot You match. They should call it.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Yeah, there we go. We got John Moxley versus Hangman Adam Page. I'm going to go with Moxley bleeding within the first 5 minutes. That's what he does.
Wouldn't it be
That's
funny,
what I
wouldn't
do.
Be funny if this is a this would be funny if this was like a first blood match. That'd be redundant, I guess.
Oh my god.
So.
Moxley will lose every fucking match. Jesus
yeah. Christ. Yeah, this match would be great.
They should put the world title back on Moxley just to have a first blood match so he loses the title like quick. Jesus
yeah, this
Christ.
Match will be great. This match will be great. Yeah. Honestly, it should close the show just because nothing is going to follow it, just because I know the crazy shit they're going to do. The match, though, this match would mean a lot more if Mox and Hangman were not bleeding like every other week, though. So, but
yeah, exactly.
It'll be a good match. It'll be a good Mick Foley type fest. I'm going to predict Hangman to win just because I just feel like he needs it more than Mox.
He needs a win. Yeah, definitely. And then we have the main event, AEW World Champion 60-man Iron Man match, MJF, Bryan Danielson. I'm going to go with MJF, of course, retaining the title. I think it's going to be like basically like tied up 2-2 or something like that towards the end of the match. And I think his fiance or his ex-fiance is going to play a part. She's going to be in the crowd. She's going to have some kind of spray paint can or something. She's going to get fucking Danielson in the face while the ref's distracted. Fucking he's going to go back into the ring, and then he's going to nail him with his finisher, and MJF retains the title. And then they celebrate, and then Jim Ross will probably say, oh, that son of a bitch. He got us. So there we go. So, yeah, MJF's fiance is going to play a role. And that's what I think. That's what I think, too. All these title matches MJF has, he's going to find, like, some cowardly way of retaining the title with help or this and that. And then when he finally loses the title, it's going to be in a steel cage match. It's going to be like a lock cage match with like a top and everything, so nobody can do any shenanigans. That's how they're going to take the title off of MJF in the future. But that's how I'm going to go with it. I just got a weird feeling that his fiance is going to play a role. Because basically what I was saying, too, was she's got all these paintings, and she goes, oh, thanks for selling out second and third prints of MJF's title thing. Okay, wait a minute. You're not engaged to this guy. Why would you be happy you're selling your ex-fiance's shit? But we'll see, but that's how I'm going with it on Sunday.
Yeah, Ironmans are always tough, you know, especially there's like it's different when it's like, you know, a title match at a 60-minute time limit because it could go to distance, but you don't know going in. And then there's the Ironman where you know going in it's going to go to full 60. I've always said that I think that Brett and Sean at Mania, that would have been a better match if they didn't announce it was going to go to full 60 ahead of time, because it was a bunch of rest holes and shit, so it's difficult to do. But if you're going to do just a straight-up, you know, 60-minute Ironman, it's easier to do it on pay-per-view, because on pay-per-view, no commercials, no ads, you know, you can just do 60 to, you know, from to the very end, run and done, no interruptions. I think MJF will surprise people. He can definitely go. You know, he can. And there's no doubt that he can go 60. You know, so you know he studied guys like Piper and Flair and Harley Race and guys like that. So I think MJF can hold his own. I'm in the same boat as you. I don't know how, but somehow by the end, MJF. I won't say that he'll win. He'll survive. He'll win through some technicality or some shit. I think the way I see it ending is I could see it being like, say, 3 falls apiece, 2 falls apiece or something. And, you know, there's like maybe 60 seconds left. You know, Danielson's got MJF dead to rights. He puts him in the LaBelle lock, but he outlasts the clock or something like that. Something's like, you know,
yeah.
Where like, oh, or better yet, here's what they could do. He puts him in the LaBelle lock, like 10 seconds left, it's tied, but MJF taps out like a split second after the bell rings. And so Danielson's like, I won. And referee's like, no, actually, he tapped out, yes, but the match was over. So therefore, MJF retains or some shenanigans. He's going to win through some technicality or some shit. It's like a football game where it's like an even score and then they fucking clutch it with like a field goal or some shit. That's what's going to happen. Something like that, probably.
That actually does make sense. Have it be tied and like there's no finish. And, like, you know, 5 more minutes, and then fucking MJ just takes the belt and leaves and, like, fuck off, and this and that,
right.
You know. And then there you go. Because then, like, nobody really loses nothing. MJF stays strong. You know, Danielson stays strong. And then they can have a match in the future, too. you know. So yeah, that works too, but I just like the shenanigans angle because it's just weird how they've been talking about his fiance this and that, and then what
right.
his fiance recently. So I just got a feeling
I'll
that
them,
he's play a part.
Right, I'll give them their flowers for this match at least. This is definitely the hottest thing in the company right now, and it should be because it's
yeah.
for the world title. You know,
no.
if your hottest thing is not for the world title, then like, you know, what the fuck are we doing here? So, you know.
Yeah. As for any surprises for the pay-per-view, I really don't see any because I don't think Jay White's coming in. I think he's going to go to WWE probably the night after Mania, which is cool and stuff like that. As long as they pay him the Seth Rollins kind of money because, like I said, if Rollins is making $4 million, you know Jay White wants around there 3 point something or something like that.
Yeah,
really
unfortunately,
I put it
together. Yeah, it's definitely looking like Jay's probably WWE bound because if you read between the lines of the stipulation, you know, it's like, okay, if he lost to the Hikaleo dude, it's like, okay, you can't wrestle in Japan anymore. If he loses to Eddie Kingston, you can't wrestle in New Japan at all. And when you read between the lines, the stipulation makes no sense because if he was to go to AEW, because of AEW's relationship with New Japan, he could work New Japan whenever he wanted. So why would the stipulation be he can't work New Japan if he was going to go to AEW? Doesn't make any sense. The fact that he lost that stip tells me that he's going to a location where, you know, they're just going to lock him down, where he'll just be there and he won't be able to go anywhere else. And that sounds a lot like
yeah.
WWE. So, yeah. Other than that, though, yeah, I think if there'll be any surprises, the surprises will probably be the Dynamite after. You know, like next Wednesday, this coming Wednesday. I think that's where, if there's going to be any kind of surprise or something, because they need to go back to having deals. Like, Dynamite's still good. It's still good. It's still a good watch, but it's kind of lost some steam. Like, there was a period there in, like, 2021 where, like, every week it was kind of like the Attitude Era where it felt like anything could happen. They need to get back to that feeling. So
yeah.
I feel like if there'll be any surprises or debuts or returns or anything, it'll definitely be probably the Dynamite after.
No. Yeah, definitely. And I used to love, like, Nitro and stuff, you know, when the limo pulled up and, like, who's in the limo. You know, it was, like, NWO and shit like that and stuff like that. But, yeah, if there's going to be a surprise, it'll probably be on the Dynamite. I really don't see anybody coming in. Like I was joking with Ryback, but, yeah, he lives out in Las Vegas. Plus, they don't need him. He sucks dick anyways. So, any other wrestling news around Impact or anything good going on? I saw that thing with Chris Masters, basically, or Adonis, whatever the fuck his name is going for the title. And I'm laughing because I had to send you that bite this clip. Like, yeah, nobody wants to see it. Yeah, nobody definitely wants to see it in 2023. Not even NWA. Like, wow. But any news going on around the wrestling world?
I think the All Access show that they talked about a couple of weeks ago, I said the debut would be March 29th, so
yep. That'll
be the end of the month, which means that I guess Adam Cole's
cool.
match, yeah, it looks like Adam Cole's match will probably be, that'll be the same day then. That'll be the same day as March 29th then. So that'll be the same week as Mania. Yeah, that'll be the same week as Mania.
I was watching the commercial for that, and they show, like, Tony Khan with the Bucks and Omega, and they think that was the spat with Punk or whatever backstage or something, the aftermath.
Right.
So, yeah, so that's why another reason why Punk's coming back soon.
Yeah, I saw also a little segment there of Sammy where he was talking about, you know, we're a family, but sometimes families fight. That's obviously a reference to whatever happened with Eddie. So it seems to me like whatever happened, they're going to try to turn it into a work, turn it into a story, I guess. So we'll see.
I don't know what
happened
with Eddie Kingston. He just quit. What the fuck? He just walked out and said he quits. He wants to go to Ring of Honor, I guess.
Yeah, it's a storyline. You know, it's a storyline, I guess. So
that's what I figured. Yeah. So, which is cool because, you know, like I said, Ring of Honor does need, like, star names and stuff like
that. Yeah, it
does. Especially now they're doing taping. So, you know,
right.
You know, Eddie Kingston was just in New Japan with his match. So it works. Whatever. It's cool. I mean, you know, I make fun of Eddie Kingston. I call him Savio Vega 2.0, but whatever. It's true. That's what he reminds me of.
Well, as long as he doesn't come out with his own As long as he doesn't come out of his own faction of Cuban guys, he'll be cool with me.
Oh, my God. Yeah. It just sucks. You know what really sucked about AEW, too? Santana and Ortiz. They never really got the tag titles. You know, suck how they just broke apart. You know, I thought they could have definitely been tag team champions, you know. So, but I guess they're gone. I don't even know. I don't think Ortiz is there anymore. I know Santana is pretty much leaving once his contract was up. So, kind of unfortunate. But, no, it should be a good show. I'm here working, so I'll be watching it. It'll probably end around midnight before I, you know, be the hell out of here. So, but looking forward to the show. Sandman's working tomorrow. I don't think he's going to do a show. Oh, no, he didn't do a show yesterday. He'd probably do a show on Tuesday. So probably Tuesday we'll be back on YouTube. So that's cool. All right, man. Thanks for calling in. Enjoy the show. You got to work tomorrow or you can watch the show?
I'll be watching.
All right, cool. All right, man. Thanks for calling in. I'll talk to you later. Probably on Tuesday on YouTube. All right. Thanks, man. So I want to thank Chris for chiming in. Check it out tomorrow night. AEW Revolution pay-per-view. It should be good. Like I said, AEW doesn't really put on stinkers, so it should be a decent show. I don't think you should be disappointed. I mean, the one thing AEW, their builds are not really that great and stuff like that, but at the end of the day, they put on great shows. So they know as long as you put a great show on the pay-per-view, I really don't care much of the build because you know what you're going to get at the show, and it's pretty much a very good show. Okay, everyone out there, take care. It's been Nate for Inside Wrestling. So everybody have a nice Sunday and this coming week. Take care.